Giant metal windmills are appearing in many states, including West Virginia and Pennsylvania, along the Appalachian ridgelines. As NPR's John Nielsen reports, plans to build more of these wind farms are running into unexpected problems.
Biologists employed by the country's biggest bat conservation group gathered near a West Virginia wind farm at dusk every day last summer. As the skies darkened, the researchers watched the towers through heat-sensitive cameras, waiting for bat-shaped blobs to fly past the spinning blades. Ed Arnett, the scientist with Bat Conservation International, says most of these migrating bats steered clear of the blades.
We saw bats in the openings and up and around the turbine sweep zone and actually investigating the turbine blades themselves when they weren't moving very fast.
Many of these bats emerged unscathed, but every now and then a spinning blade made contact. Arnett and his colleagues looked for the results when the sun came up.
Sometimes we were able to find body parts, and sometimes we found whole carcasses with pretty obvious lesions on them that would indicate they'd been struck.
Arnett says thousands of bats were killed last summer by the 125-foot-long blades on Backbone Mountain.
If you multiply that out through the numbers of turbines that are being built, it's a little bit frightening in terms of the total number of mortalities that could be occurring.
Arnett and his colleagues were invited to investigate the bat kills by the owner of this farm, who started finding dead bats during post-construction environmental impact tests. Bird kill studies are routinely done before towers are built, but Tom Gray, a spokesman for the American Wind Energy Association, says nobody even thought about studying potential bat kills.
It's a total surprise to us, to the bat folks, and we're scrambling to catch up.
The wind farm industry could have tried to muscle past this problem by dismissing the eastern bat kills as freak events that shouldn't be allowed to thwart a move to such a green source of electric power. After all, according to Gray,
it's an energy source that has no air pollution, no water pollution, no greenhouse gases, no waste.
But Gray says that approach can backfire, as it did in the early 1980s, when biologists discovered that the nation's first big wind farm in California's Altamont Pass was killing lots of hawks and eagles. Opponents of the turbines began calling them eagle Cuisinarts then.
Got a lot of publicity. And so today, one of the things that everybody knows about wind turbines, or thinks they know, is that wind turbines are dangerous to birds.
In fact, when wind farms are built in the right locations and run in the right way, they rarely kill birds. Gray hopes this will also prove true for bats.
It may be possible to shut down some or all of the turbines at certain times. There's a variety of approaches that we're going to be looking at during the coming migration season.
Arnett hopes Tom Gray is right, but he can't be sure until bat researchers have studied wind farms in other parts of the country. Arnett says it's possible that some wind towers will have to be moved in the end.
I'm pretty convinced that there are likely safe places to put turbines throughout the east.
Along the shore, on rocky slopes, and outside bat migration routes.
But based on the current data today, the forested ridgetops seem to be a real challenge for us.
Bat Conservation International is now at work on the first scientific estimate of the size and scope of the bat kill problem. But that study might not be finished until next winter, after the bats on that Appalachian ridgeline have had to run another gauntlet. John Nielsen, NPR News, Washington.